Okay, we're starting here from the bottom of Tet Vavam and Bet by the Tashma. The Gemara here is discussing a machloka between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua about Parutz Ve'Omeid. What happens when you have exactly the same amount of standing wall as open wall? We know that if the Omeid exceeds the Parutz, then we consider it as all to be enclosed, with some exceptions which we're going to see in a minute. But the question here revolves around what happens when they are equal. Rav Papa says it's mutar. When the Omeid equals the Parutz, then it's fine. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says that it's no good. And so we've been bringing proofs to either side. And now the Gemara continues. Tashma. Shayara shechanta bibiga. So you have a caravan that is camping in the valley. Vikifua. And then they surrounded their encampment, bigmalim, with camels, buukafot, with saddles, ba'avitim, which are pillows or the saddle bags, or areas that go underneath the saddle that they store things with. Bishalifim, which are the loads. Bikanim, with reeds, with poles. Kuchot, which are stalks. But actually, here are stalks of vegetables. Mitaltilim, mitocha. Then you can carry within that area that they've enclosed. Ubevad, shaloya ben gamal de gamal, gimlo gamal. As long as between each of the camels, there's not an open space the size of a camel. Ben ukaf de ukaf. Between the saddles, gimlo ukaf, that there's not an open space the size of a saddle. Ben avit de avit. Between the pillows, or the storage area, there isn't that same amount in between it, gimlo avit. Rachanami, kishinichnas viyutse. So here, the Gemara gives the same answer that's given in the previous number of items, which is, so when we say that there's not enough space there, it's not the exact amount of space, the amount of space that you could fit the item in. If it was exactly that space, it would be difficult to fit it in. So the amount of empty space we're talking about here is not simply the amount of space to put a saddle in, it's the amount of space that would be easy to insert a saddle and take it out, which is slightly bigger than the amount of a saddle. Once you have that, then you have parutz, yoter min omeid. Then you have more open space than omeid. But in Hachanami, if it was equal, it would be mutar. That's the way Rav Papa answers it. Obviously, this is a question on Rav Papa. For Rav Huna Breid Yeshua, you can read it simply, which is that if they're equal, then it's problematic. If the Omeid exceeds the Parutz, then it would be fine. So we answered on behalf of Rav Papa, Hachanami, Kshenichnas Viyotze. Okay, Tashma. Now the Gemara is going to use a Tosefta from Mesechet Gilayim, and the Tosefta is going to give a broader perspective on enclosures, which is, first of all, Nimtzait ata umer, shlosh midot b'mechitzot. There are three different categories within mechitzot. Here's the first category, which is po, shupachot mishlosha. Anything that is less than three tfachim, tzarich shloya ben ze l'shlosha. If you have a mechitza that's made up of items that are less than three tfachim each, the only way for this to be a proper mechitza is if the distance between the items that you are using to be the mechitza is less than three tefachim, because then we're invoking the principle of lavud, and it's as if it's enclosed. Why do you need it within three tefachim? Kedei shlo yistaker agdi v'badrosh. That it should not be simple or easy for a kid to slip through. It has to be close enough that it provides a halachic wall. Halachic wall means within three tefachim, but we will only allow this, I'll call it a quote-unquote halachic fiction to exist, if we don't have something obviously undermining it. Something obviously undermining it is if a kid or a goat can walk straight through it, then even though halakhically it might be a wall, but we won't accept it because it's just too easy for someone to breach the wall or for a kid to breach the wall. So it has to have some sort of form that works in the physical sense, that it stops, so it stops the kid. So even though it's not a complete omeid mubel of parutz, but because it's less than three tvachim, it's considered that it's enclosed, and therefore, it doesn't matter that the parutz is greater than the omeid. It doesn't matter that there's more open space than covered space because it's considered as if closed. Because it's less than three tefachim apart. It's as if everything in there is enclosed. That's number one. Number two, this is the midah shnia. Kol shu gimel. Anything that is three tefachim wide. Umi gimel adalid. And from three up to four tefachim, not including four tefachim. Tzarich shelo yeh ben ze lezeh gimlo'o. Then you must not have between them the amount of empty space as standing space. Kedei shelo yeh parutz ke'omeid. In order to ensure that the empty space is not the same as the standing space. V'imaya parutz merubeh ala omeid. And if there's more open space than standing space, af keneged omeid asur. Even opposite the standing space, it's asur. Now here we're talking about kilayim. In kilayim, the reason for a mechitza is to divide between different crops that you're planting in the field. In the field, you're not allowed to plant tvu'ah opposite the vines. But if you have a mechitza, if you have something that divides between them, then you can plant on one side of the wall vines, on the other side of the wall you can plant tvuah. So again, if you have the wall that we talked about before was the halachic wall, which is you have these stakes in the ground, they're all less than 3 tefachim away from each other, so it's as if the whole thing's enclosed, you can plant vines on one side and you can plant tvuah on the other side. Our second grouping here is something that is as wide as 3 tefachim, up to 4 tefachim, not including 4 tefachim. Over there, the only way for the wall to function is for the standing wall to be greater than the open space. Because then if the standing wall is greater than the open space, we consider the whole area to be enclosed or to be a fence along that line. If that's the case, you can plant on either side. If that's not the case, there's more open space than standing wall, you have nothing. Because the open space, clearly you don't have anything there. And even the standing wall is not significant enough to make it into a wall. And therefore, it's as if there's nothing there and you cannot plant on either side. Now, kol shehu dalit, anything that is 4 tefachim, umi arba'a ad 10 amot. So now the standing area is from anywhere from 4 tefachim until 10 amot. Tzarich shloye ben zeh lezeh kimlo'o. And you can't have in between them the amount of space that is equivalent to the standing space. Shloye parutz ke'omeid. So that the open space does not equal the standing space. Vimaya parutz ke'omeid. If it's a case that the standing space is equal to the open space, then kenegedo made mutar. Whatever the standing wall is mutar, meaning that the either side you can plant on, whereas the open space is problematic. V'mayah made merube ala parutz, and if the standing wall is greater than the open space, af kenegedo parutz mutar. Even opposite the empty space is mutar. This statement goes on both the last two sections. And it goes both on the up to 3 to 4 tefachim. And 4 and up to 10 amot, in both those cases, if you have more standing wall than open space, you have a wall. So if you have a wall, you can plant on either side of it. The difference of them being is what happens if you don't have more standing wall than open space. Then in the case when you're between 3 and 4 tefachim, you don't have anything significant. Since you don't have anything significant, you can't plant next to the wall and in the open space. Neither of them are valuable. On the other hand, here, in our latter case, where it's from 4 tefachim up to 10 amot, there, if you have more open space than standing wall, opposite the walls you can plant. Because the wall is significant in and of itself. Because 4 tefachim is a measure that we've seen already that's significant. So since it has chashivut by itself, that standing wall, you can plant on either side of the standing wall. The open space, you can't plant because you don't have a complete wall. Again, if there's more standing wall than empty space, you could plant even against the open space because then it would consider it to be one big wall.
What's the saying in terms of you have to have omed more on the parutz?
No, because in the first case, you do not need to have omed more on the parutz. No, neither. You can even make less because it's less than 3 tefachim, so labud takes care of it. So even if the parutz exceeds the omed, since it's less than 3 tefachim, it's as if. There's a palachic fiction as if there's omed yoter min parutz. So that's the first case. That's what's different in the first case. In the second case, you're already exceeding the 3 tefachim, so you can't use lavud anymore. There, you need omeid yoter min parutz. Now, to the end of this tosefta, nifritza biyoter mi aser asur. If you have a breach that is greater than 10 amot, you have a problem here, and that is, even if the omeid is merube ala parutz, even if the standing wall is greater than the parutz, a breach of more than 10 amot ruins the wall, because that's no longer considered to be a petach. We said up to 10 amot is a petach, is a doorway in. More than 10 amot, you don't have a wall anymore. Now, again, it'll follow all the other rules that we've had before. If you have something that's greater than 4 tefachim and up, then opposite that wall, you could plant. Something less than 10 tefachim, you couldn't plant there. But this breach ruins the wall entirely because you can't overcome the problem of the breach. I mean, it's not a wall anymore, so then you'll have to look at each piece individually rather than as a whole wall. Ayusham panim hadokranim. If you have staves that you put into the ground, vosilahem pe'a milamalo, and then you draw a vine across the top, then afil yotermi aser mutar. Then even if you're greater than 10 amot, you're okay. This is something we saw earlier in the perek, the difference between kilayim and shabbat. Surat ha-petach for kilayim is able to overcome an excess of 10 amot. So if you have a surat ha-petach, even though it's wider than 10 amot, it's good enough to be considered in a doorway, and the wall stays intact, even though the breach is greater than 10 amot. With regards to Shabbat, that may not be true. Surat HaPetach may not be able to overcome an excess of 10 amot. That's a machloket that we saw earlier. But Bekilayim, everybody agrees that Surat HaPetach is able to overcome that problem of the width of 10 amot. So over here, if you create a Surat HaPetach in a breach that's greater than 10 amot, you can overcome the problem, and it can be considered a single wall. This is the Tosefta that we brought. Now the Gemara is going to use this to question our positions. Ketani mihat, ratio. The beginning of the Tosefta says, mi gimel ve'ad dalet. From 3 until 4. As long as there's not equal empty space between them as there is of standing space. So, Tiyufta Drapapa. This undermines Rapapa's position because Rapapa said when it's equal, it's mutar. The Tosefta in that statement makes it sound like when they're equal, it's problematic. You can't have the amount of empty space as standing space. So even when they're equal, it's telling you that there's a problem. What does it mean, equal? This is the same answer that he's given in the other case, that when we say the empty space is equal to the standing space, we don't mean literally equal. We mean equal enough so that you could place something of that size into it, which requires slightly more than the exact amount of space, because you'd have to place it in. You need room to wedge it in to get in that piece. So, hachanami mistavra. Now the Gemara flips and says, wow, it makes a lot of sense. Migriktani, because it then says afterwards in the Tosefta, after it says, kadesh loya parutz ke omeid, it says, v'amaya parutz mirube al ha omeid. If the open space exceeds the omeid, av kenegit omeid asur. Then even against the omeid is asur. Ha, what could you infer from that? If it was ke omeid, mutar. Had it been equal to the omeid, then it would mutar. So that next line, the inference you can draw from the next line in the Tosefta is, only when the empty space exceeds the standing space is it problematic. That means when it's equal, it's okay. Well, I just had a statement when it was equal, it sounded like it wasn't okay. No, that was a statement about nifnas v'yotzei, the ability to put it in and out, which means it was slightly more. But ein hachanami, if it was equal, that would be good. So it says, well, lema davi tiyuftei de Ravuna brei de Rav Shua. This should be undermine the position of Ravuna brei de Rav Shua now, because now our assumption is that when they're equal, it's okay. And the Ravuna brei de Rav Shua says they're not okay. It's an interesting way that the Gemara is asking the question, because the simpler reading of the Tosefta is in favor of Ravuna brei de Rav Shua over here, until we move it around and draw the inference from the next statement. But if you put the two statements together, it actually sounds much more like Ravuna brei de Rav Shua. But here the Gemara assumes, once we have Rapapa's reading, and that seems to be the right reading according to them based on the inference, now we have a question of Ravuna brei de Rav Shua. So Ravuna brei de Rav Shua says, okay, the way you're drawing an inference from that second category, Emaseifa, what about the third category? In the third category, it says, "Im haya omeid mirube al haparutz, af keneged haparutz mutar." If the omeid is standing is more greater than the empty space, then even against the open space is fine. Ha! The inference you would draw from this last section of the Tosefta is "Haki parutz asur." That if it was equal, it would be asur, because the last section is saying, "I demand that the standing space be greater than the open space." So the inference you draw from that is that if it was equal, it would be asur. The second section says that if the empty space is greater than the standing space, it's problematic, inferring, or you would infer from that just the opposite, which is that if it was equal, it would be mutar. So that's what the Gemara now acknowledges, is seifa kasha l'Rav Papa. The last case, the third case in this Tosefta is problematic for Rav Papa, the inference we would draw. Reisha kasha l'Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Shua. And in the second section of the Tosefta, that's problematic for Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Shua, because one of them formulates it in the negative, which is, the open space is greater than the standing space, so the inference there is if they're equal, it is mutar. And the latter case, it formulates in the positive. If the standing space is greater than the empty space, inferring that if they were equal, it would be problematic. So you have one section of the Tosefta favoring Rav Papa, and one section of the Tosefta favoring Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua, where it says, Rav Papa lo kasho. For a papa, it's not a problem. Aidi d'tana reisha parutz mirube ala omeid. For a papa, when it says it in that first section that when the open space is greater than the omeid, it's problematic. And the inference you would draw from that is if they were equal, would be mutar. That's exact, and it's lashon. So tana seifa, what about the latter half of the breita, the tosefta? There, when it says omeid mirube ala parutz, that was done for parallel structure. It's a literary style. So in the first part of the Tosefta, it uses something that is exact and draw an inference from that. Once you've drawn that inference, then the latter half of the Tosefta gives you just the opposite case. Keep the literary style to keep it as a parallel structure. So don't draw any conclusions or inferences from the second time it uses it, because that's simply a literary style, not something to come to teach you anything about it. So that's the way Rav Papa will deal with it. And Rav Huna, b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua lo kasha, he'll do the same thing. Aidi debayda mitna seifa, umeid mirubel aparutz, Since in the latter half of the Tosefta, it's going to say Omed Merubel Aparutz, and that is exact in Lashon, because then if it was equal, it'd be Asur. Tanaresha Parutz Merubel Omed. Keep that, again, parallel structure. In the first case, it just gave you the opposite statement. That is a little more problematic. Other places in the Gemara rejects such an understanding of literary style. It's one thing to say if I have a statement up front that is meaningful, and then to say that in the latter half of the Tosefta, I have something that's parallel structure. But to say that I have a meaningful statement at the end of the Tosefta, and therefore I kept parallel structure in the first half of the Tosefta, is a little more difficult. Here the Gemara doesn't reject it. Other places the Gemara is not so comfortable doing that, saying that there's parallel structure when it's the latter statement that is the exact statement. I agree with you. That's what I said originally. The Gemara is using it as a question against Rav Huna Ber Yeshua, but it sounds, in a simple reading of the Tosefta there, does sound like Rav Huna Ber Yeshua. If I was answering for Rav Huna Ber Yeshua, that's what I would say. That the first case has both cases there. It has the case of equal and it has the case of more. And the equal case, it says it is Asur. And that'd be the simple, that's what the Gemara asked on Rav Papa. But then Rav Papa said, gave his answer, and the Gemara says, oh, it's Meduyak like Rav Papa. I don't think that's the simplest reading of it, and that would be the easier answer for Rav Huna Ber Yeshua, to say the first case has both issues addressed, and the latter half has the inference in favor of Rav Huna Ber Yeshua. I think that would be the easier way to answer. Bishlam al Rav Papa, Shumachilo Ariv Luhu. I understand, according to Rav Papa, why it didn't put together two different sections, Vitani Luhu, and give you the same din. And when we say that it's not together, we mean less than three tefachim and three tefachim itself, because the din is different. When you have less than three tefachim, two, three tefachim, the din is different. At three tefachim, if you have them be exactly equal, according to Rav Papa, that is mutar. If you have boards that are three tefachim wide and then gaps that are three tefachim wide, in that case, mutar, according to Rav Papa, because you have equal. Omeid and porutz is equal. In a case where it's less than three tefachim, so you have boards that are less than three tefachim and spaces that are less than three tefachim, then it would be mutar. But if the spaces were three tefachim, then you would have a problem over there. So that's why I would differentiate in these cases. Whereas for Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, less than three and three have the same din. Because at three tefachim, if it was equal, the boards are three tefachim and the gapping is three tefachim, asur, according to Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua. And less than three tefachim is the same thing. If you had gapping that was three tefachim, that'd also be asur. So then why didn't, according to Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua, did the Tosefta not say, up until three tefachim and three tefachim, and it should combine those together? Instead, the Tosefta reads like this, up until three tefachim, and then it says three tefachim, and three tefachim until four tefachim. So combine three tefachim with the spacing above, rather than that which is below. And the Gemara says that that makes sense according to Rav Papa, where there's a different din. According to Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua, you have the same din, which is that it doesn't work in both cases. So since it doesn't work in both cases, why didn't the Tosefta connect them, or put them into a single category? That's the Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Papa Mshumachilu Ariv Lubitaniu, El Rav Huna Ber Yehoshua, Larvinu Vedlidnu, Koshu Pachot Mishlosha, Vishlosha. In both those cases, you need less than three in between them. Otherwise, you have a problem. So the Gemara says, you're right. They're both pasul, but for different reasons. In the psula deresha is gadei shlo yizdaker agdi bevat achat. Problem is that the gdi can't push itself through simply. That's the problem in the first case. Up to three tefachim, the problem has nothing to do with omeid and parutz, because you have more parutz than omeid. The only question is, do you have a gapping that's less than three tefachim to stop it from being an open space halachically, to be a closed space to have lavut? Whereas psula de seifa has to do with shalehi parutz geomeid. That the three tefachim space, if you have three standing and three empty, the problem no longer is a question of lavut and shizdakar agdi. We're up to the point where it's a problem of whether you have more standing than open space. Says you're right, they're both psulim, but for different reasons. The psul of the three and the three tefachim, it's because you have more open space than standing space, or equal open space to standing space. In the earlier section, the problem is not about omeid and parutz, it's simply about the gapping. The gapping is just too big to have a classification of lavut. If it was less than that, I'd have a classification of lavut. So the psul difference, and therefore the Tosefta split them up. So now the Gemara says, Pachot mishlosha mani. The fact that Tosefta says that lavut is governed by three tefachim, who is the author of that position? Remember, we had a machloket Tanaim as to what is classified as lavud. You have the Rabbanan who say, under three tefachim is lavud. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says, under four tefachim is considered lavud. So the Gemara says, this Tosefta, who's the author of this Tosefta? The fact that they say less than three tefachim is lavud, that is the Rabbanan. Damrei, pachot mishlosha, mina lavud. Based on that first section of the Tosefta, that's the conclusion you would come to. Shlosha, Lo amrin and lavud. Once you hit three tvachim, we no longer say lavud. Ema seifa. What are you going to do with the next part of the Tosefta? The next section of the Tosefta says, kol shehu shlosha. Anything that is three tvachim, umi shlosha v'ad arba. And then from three until four. That is aton Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That figures like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Because he says under four is lavud. Because if it was the rabbanon who were the authors of that position, when you go from three until four, why is there a distinction between three to four and then four to ten? For the rabbanon, basically after you reach over three, it should go three to ten amot. There should be no distinction in between. There should be no stopping point. Four tfachim, according to Rabbanan, are not significant because they don't have this threshold of love with a four tfachim. Four, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, four tfachim has significance. Therefore, you would say in three until four has significance. Four and above is in a different category. You're right. But under four has a significance. So the fact that the Tosefta delineated three to four shows you that they're thinking like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, not like the Chachamim. Under three is clearly like the Chachamim. So now you have a problem. You have the first part of the Tosefta sounding like the Chachamim. Then under three is Lavud. Then you have a section that makes four Tfachim significant, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And so now you have a problem, which is you have Reisha as the Rabbonon, and then Sefer, the Metziah, being Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Truthfully, even from the Sefer, which the Gemara doesn't raise here, Tosefta points out, from the last section of the Tosefta, you also have a problem because it's going four until ten. But you're also running into the same problem because four. Right. So the fact that you say four until ten already is a problem. So Tosefta says that the Gemara has a, generally works through the Tosefta in order. So if you can find the question before it gets to the easy, even though there's an easier way to just show it in the latter section, if it works its way through on a chronological basis, says, okay, here, this is what was said first, then if we find the problem already, we'll deal with it there. So now, Abamar Abaye, Abaye says, Midereish Rabbanan, Seifa Nami de Rabbanan. If the first section is the Rabbanan, the whole thing is the Rabbanan, so how do we solve the problem? Modu Rabbanan, to call the Mishra Kenegdo, Iya Kamokom Arba'a Chashib, Vilo Lo Chashib. So this is something that I mentioned when we spoke about it in the Tosefta. The reason that Fort Fachim is significant over here has nothing to do with Lovewood anymore. It has to do with the fact that Fort Fachim is considered to be a standing mechitza or a significant mechitza in and of itself. Four tefachim has significance even outside the world of lavud. Even for the chachamim, four tefachim already becomes, we saw pas arba'a, we see this number of four tefachim come up before where it's considered to be a mechitza when you have four tefachim of width. So the reason that four tefachim here is delineated as a breaking point is not because of lavud, but simply because once you hit four tefachim, then that standing wall has significance, and you can plant opposite, irrespective of what's around it. I mean, that wall, then, that geder becomes a geder without any questions of lavud, parutz, omeid. Now, if you have omeid, you determine a parutz, then it becomes a long wall, and it'll cover the empty space. But even without that, the standing space now becomes significant at four tefachim. So even the rabbanon agree that at four tefachim, that there is significance, nothing to do with lavud, and that's why it delineated the three cases. That's up until three tefachim, three till four, and then four and up is another category, even according to the Rabbanan. Rava Amar, Rava says, "Me the sefer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Reisha Nami Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If the sefer is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then the Reisha is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." So what about the fact that lavud here is measured at three tefachim, or under three, not under four? That doesn't work well for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Chi Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amrin and lavud, Hani mila the mala, that's off the ground. Aval amata, when it's on the ground, avalek mechitza shegdiim bokim ba. Since it's a mechitza that the goats can breach, lo amrin and lovud. We allow for the halachic fiction to exist, again, as long as there's not something obvious which makes it look like it's a joke. If a gdi can walk through, if a kid can just walk through it, then how can you call it a wall, the halacha? The fact is, even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he'll agree that when it's on the ground, you have to have a semblance of a mechitza, so it has to be less than three tefachim. Where does he say that the four tefachim matters? It's off the ground, where gdiim don't go. So for a korah, if a korah is away from the wall, how much can it be away from the wall and still consider connected to the other wall? Chachamim will say less than three, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will say less than four. Over there, gdi is not relevant. When it's on the ground, the gdi is relevant, and therefore, we will say that even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees, Rabbi said this already once before, we said that by the lechi, that's off the ground, more than three tefachim off the ground, or more than three tefachim away from the wall. Over there, Rava said, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will agree there by lechi, because lamato, when it's down below, gedi and bokimba, and therefore Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will agree over there that there is no din of lavud. It's only when it's off the ground that we say lavud is greater than three, up to four tefachim. So that's how to reconcile between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanan. So you have Abaye reconciling it in the position of the Rabbanan, and we have Rava reconciling it within the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Tashma. Difanot alalu, shruban ptachim v'chalonot mutar. If you have this wall that's made up of a majority of windows and doors, then it's mutar. Obilvad, what's the qualification? Shomeid mirube ala parutz, that the standing wall is greater than the open space. We already had this in the Gemara. It's not understandable, this brayta, because how could you say something's rov? The majority is windows and doors, and then say that you have more standing space than open space. Two are irreconcilable. You can't have more windows and doors and more standing space. So Gemara says, shruban sakadatcha, can't be that it's the rov. Ela shariba behen fatachim v'chalonot mutar. It's not rov, but rather riba. You can have lots of doors and windows. As long as the standing is greater than the open space. Again, the statement is made in the positive form, which means the standing is greater than the open space. Ha, you can infer from that, that ki parutz asur. If it was equal to the parutz, then it would be asur. Tiyufta d'rapapa, tiyufta. Here we have a real problem for rapapa. Rapapa cannot answer like he did before, which is talking about nichnas v'yotzei. In the previous cases, he could say it was nichnas v'yotzei because we were talking about discrete items that were placed down. And then we had an empty space that was equal to the discrete item. So in those cases, you can say, oh, that you have to have enough space to get that discrete item in. Over here, there's not a discrete item. Here, the Braita says that we have walls that have lots of windows and doors in there. And it doesn't say the empty space is equal to the doors and the windows. That's not what it says. It says the doors and the windows, as long as you have more standing wall than open space. And it doesn't say anything about placing items in or out, so therefore Nichlas V'yotzei is no longer an answer, and this is a huge problem for Rav Papa, and undermines his whole position. Then the Gemara says, V'hilchata kafate de Rav Papa. Despite the fact that Rav Papa was undermined, Aloch is like Rav Papa. We just saw this back on Daf Yud. We had a similar thing by the Chatzirot, that we said there, that it was a Tiyufta, and yet Aloch is still that way. The Gemara says the same thing here, Tiyufta V'hilchata. How could you have this, where you have an undermining question on Rav Papa, Ve'ilchata, and then say the Lach is like him? In. Shum da daika matnitan kavate. Our Mishnah is miduyak like Rav Papa, and therefore he has support. Titnan. Lo yiyu piratzot yiterot ala binyan. Our Mishnah says that the openings can't be greater than the built space. Ha? The inference you could draw is ki binyan mutar. If it was equal, it would be mutar. So the inference you would draw out of our Mishnah is meduyak like Rav Papa. So Rav Papa has the support of our Mishnah. So despite the fact that we have a braita that is problematic from him, he says, I have the Mishnah which is meduyak like me. And if you have a Mishnah that's meduyak, that carries more weight than a braita that is problematic for him. Because of that, we give Rav Papa more credence, and the halacha is like Rav Papa. Similar to what we did back on Daf Yud, Nira b'chutz v'shave b'mifnim, nidon mishum lachi. And the Gemara says over there, v'hilchata nira b'chutz v'shave b'mifnim, nidon mishum lachi. Tiyufta v'hilchata. We had a strong question against that position because of the Chatzerot, Chatzer Ktana and the Chatzer Gdola, which showed you that a lechi that is on one side and not on the other side does not work. And we said that's a problem. The Gemara again said, no, in Mishum Tatani Rabbi Chiya Kevatei. He had an explicit braita supporting his position from Rabbi Chiya. So here the Gemara does a similar thing and says, yes, you have a strong question, but I have a piece of support which I'm going to rely on. Over here it's our Mishnah versus a braita. Over there we have a braita against the version of the Amoraim, or the way the Amoraim set up the Mishnah, so therefore we give more credence to that position. Despite the fact that there's a strong question against it, we're going to give more power or credence to that position because it has a piece of support that overwhelms or is machriya in that case. And same thing over here, the Mishnah is machriya, the Diyag of the Mishnah is machriya. The next Mishnah, Makifin Shlosha Chavalim Mizeh L'Mala Mizeh, Mizeh L'Mala Mizeh. It's a continuation of the previous Mishnah, which is that the previous Mishnah says that you have a shayira shechanta bebika. You have a caravan that encamped in the valley, encamped in an open area. So in the Mishnah we saw before, they dealt with it using vertical objects, which is they placed the items down that are standing, and they had less than 3 tefachim between them, then it was fine. Over here, they're going to solve the problem by using horizontal ropes, something horizontal to solve their problem. And that's what the Mishnah is describing here. They use 3 ropes, one on top of the other. Ubivad, shoye ben chevo lechavero, shlosha tfachim. As long as there's not a gapping of 3 tfachim between each of the ropes, shiur chavalim, ve'ovyan yater al tefach. The way to do this, the only way to do this, is that rope be a tefach thick plus, a little over a tefach thick, because you have to get to a height of 10 tfachim. In order to get to a height of 10 tfachim and never have a space greater than 3 tfachim between them, then you have to have one rope off the ground less than 3 tefachim, and you have a rope. Next rope up, less than 3 tefachim. Last rope up is less than 3 tefachim, and you have a rope on top. That way, together the three ropes are going to equal tefach, plus the mashu missing from each of those three tvachim. Knowing that you have to get to 10, and knowing that each space has to be less than three tvachim, that means that the sum of the ropes has to be a full tefach, plus the extra piece that you need to get three in each time. Mashu fills in all of the three missing spaces. That gets you 9. And then 1 is the final. That's the 10. And the combination of all three ropes is 1 plus. So that plus fills in the missing three tefachim spaces. And then the 1 gets you the 10 tefachim. Right, that's the Sukkot today. They use canvas as the walls. The problem with the canvas moving, they have on the bottom, they have three bars or three strings that go across. They're each less than three tefachim away from each other. They give rise to a level of 10 tefachim, so that you have a kosher mechitz at the bottom. The canvas walls are simply for privacy now, not halachic walls anymore. That's a similar thing to what they do in the sukkah. So, kadesh she'akol aserat tefachim, so the total is 10 tefachim. Mekifim bekanim, v'achleir ben kaneh lechaviro shlosha tefachim. You put up stakes or rods around, standing rods on the vertical, as long as each one is not more than 3 tefachim away from each other. Now, we have a qualification. Bishayara dibru divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, this heter only works when you're in a caravan. So you can use this subpar wall when you're in a caravan, when you're in a, call it a desperate situation, not when you're in normal living conditions. Sheira is not an exact definition, it's just a common occurrence. When you're in a caravan, you have to create these subpar walls or these makeshift walls to solve your problem. So that's why the Mishnah discusses a Shaira. Not to tell you that it only works by Shaira, but just that's a common occurrence in that case, and therefore they're addressing that case. But not to say that if you were at home and you wanted to put up a fence like that, that it wouldn't work. You could do it yourself at home and it would work just as well. Kol mechitza she'eno shel sheti ve'erev. So any mechitza is not made up of vertical and horizontal pieces. Eina mechitza. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you need both vertical and horizontal to be classified as a fence. Chachamim omrim echad mishnei dvarim. Chachamim say it could be o sheti, o erev. Be standing stakes or ropes across. You don't need both in order to make the mechitza. Obviously, the stakes here are less than three tefachim away from each other, right? The stakes are holding up the ropes, but not creating a halachic wall. Amarav amnuna, amarav. Hare amru, omeid mirubeh ala parutz, b'sheti havi omeid. We know already, when we're talking about on the vertical, and that was the tosefta that we brought from Kilayim, and we've seen the example in the previous Mishnah with the articles of the Shayara that they put down. In all those cases, we're talking about vertical fences. And in those vertical fences, we're saying that you have to have more standing space than open space. And if you do, it works. So we have a principle there. Omeid mirubel aparutz. When you have vertical standing, that overcomes the open space. And it's as if you have a solid wall. Vayrev amnuna be'erev mai. If I have it on the horizontal, what happens? If I have more horizontal closed space than open space, can I say then, omein rubela parutz, as if I have a solid wall there? Obviously, the difference would be when you don't have less than three tefachim. You don't have love wood working for you in your favor. Can the four tefachim wall overcome that problem? Can you overcome the issue of the open space by saying, omein rubela al ha parutz? That's the question. On a horizontal, can you say that? Am rabbi, tashma. Shiur chavalim ve'ovyan yeter al tefach. Shiur kol asarat tefachim. Our Mishnah gives the example of the horizontal, that the ropes cumulative, they have to be a tefach plus, in order that the total gets to 10 tefachim. Vimita, if you have this case of omeid merubel aparutz by horizontal, lamali yeter al tefach. Why do I need more than a tefach worth of rope? Le'avit, this is what you should do. Pachod mishlosha v'chevo mashu. Do less than three tefachim, and then a rope that's a mashu. Pachod mishlosha, less than three, v'chevo mashu. Now you're up to 6 tefachim, and you're done. 6 tefachim, and you're done. Now you have a remaining 4 tefachim. So what do? You put the top rope on, which is also a mashu, and you have a gap of 4 tefachim. So that's not going to be covered by lovu. The bottom 6 tefachim are solid wall. Why are they solid wall? Because you're less than 3 tefachim. So you created 6 tefachim of solid wall, 4 tefachim of open space, you have omeid merubel aparutz. Can omeid merubel aparutz overcome that problem?
But even though the omeid is not really...
Even though it's halachic fiction, correct. We saw that before already in the Tosefta, that when you're less than 3 tefachim, that is omeid merubel aparutz. It's considered to be omeid when you're less than 3 tefachim. It's as if you have a solid wall there. Abayi says, listen, if you were right that omeid merubel aparutz, the solution of the Mishnah isn't necessarily necessary because you could have come up with a solution that was simpler. Just use mashu ropes, and you would have to cover up less than 3, you get 6 tefachim. And then you up in four, and then you put the mashu on the top, and now you're totally fine, because you've made merubeh ala parutz. He says, does that work? So where are you going to put this little less than four tvachim? Where are you going to put it? So you have three choices where to put it. You can have the six tvachim at the bottom, and the four at the top. You can have the four at the bottom, and the six on the top, or you can have three on the top, three on the bottom, and four in the middle. Those are your three options, and then Gemara's going to go through each one of them. If he puts the open area of four tvachim on the bottom, it's a mechitza the gedim can get through, and omer ala perutz doesn't help you anymore because the gedim can go under it. So let's put it all the way on the top. You have that last rope on the top, which is a thin mashu, the one that's at the 10 tvachim mark. Below it has four tvachim of empty space. Above it has the rest of the sky. You put those two together, you have no rope there anymore. You have space on both sides, and it's mevatel, the standing rope there. That mashu of rope will no longer have significance because of the airspace on both sides. Just as a note, there was the Tosfot back on Yud, the Ritzba had a pshat that open space only relevant when it's part of the mechitza. When it's in the enclosure, part of the mechitza, that's when open space can be mevatel. Over here, the Gemara doesn't sound like that. Here, the Gemara sounds like the open space above the wall, above the ten tefachim, is considered significant in order to ruin the wire that is below ten tefachim, which is shayach to the mechitza. So over here you see empty space that is not relevant to the mechitza, and yet it's still affecting it. You could argue that above ten tefachim is olel shamayim, meaning that once you reach over ten tefachim, the mechitza is considered as if it's olel shamayim, and therefore that is significant. I guess that's what the Ritzba would have to answer in that case. Now, imukim lebe mitzei. So what's the alternative? Put it in the middle. Put the four tefachim in the middle. You have three solid on top, three solid on the bottom. Solid being through lavud on top and bottom. You have an empty space of four tefachim in the middle. Havle omed merubeh ala parutz mishtei ruchot. This is a question that we addressed before. Can you say omed merubeh ala parutz when the omed is not on one side? It's on two different sides. If I look at each part of the omed by itself, it's three tefachim. The middle empty space is four. The empty space is greater than each standing space individually. It's only the combination or cumulative day, the two together add up to six and overcome the empty space. Can you say that? Shramina, omeid merubela parutz mishtei ruchot avi omeid. If the Mishnah wrote it that way, you would have to conclude that omeid from two sides is considered to be omeid merubela parutz, something that we don't know, something that we have a machloket amoraim about. Ela, Rav Amnuna, hachikami baile. That can't be his question, because that question doesn't even get off the ground. There's no way you could set this up where you're going to have omeid merubeh ala parutz be a question, because each one of them runs into a problem before you ever get to omeid merubeh ala parutz. Ela kigon da'aiti mechatzelet avizainu mashu. He brings a mat that is 7+. V'chokok ba'gimel. And he cuts out 3 tfachim from it in the middle. V'shavok ba'dalet. And he leaves 4 solid. That'll mashu solid. V'ukimna pachot migimel. And he puts it up less than 3 tfachim from the base, from the ground. So he hangs this mat. The mat in the total is 7 tvachim, and the frame of the mat is going to remain. So the frame of the mat goes down to under 3 tvachim. Under 3 tvachim is lavud. So the bottom we covered. Now the mat itself, he cuts out, in the middle of the mat he cuts out 3 tvachim, leaving 4 above it, and then a mashu below it. By doing that, the 4 above it is solid wall. The 3 tvachim is a gap now in the mat. The mashu sits below 3 tvachim to the ground, and therefore makes it lavud to the ground. So in terms of omein mubela parutz, I have the 4 tvachim up top, which is solid. I have the less the 3 lavud at the bottom, which is 3. Right, so that's 7. And I have the empty space in the middle, it's 3. Now you're going to say to me again, you have omein vishtei ruchot. In this case, that's not true, because the gap in the middle is 3 tefachim. The solid wall on top is 4 tefachim. So there, individually, the omeid is merubel parutz, and I no longer have that problem, I'm doing mishtei ruchot, because each, that omeid individually could wipe out the parutz. So I have 4 solid on top, 3 lavud on the bottom, 3 empty in the middle. So now I have a case of omeid merubel parutz. Does it work? Because I have a gap that's 3 tefachim in the middle, which is not covered by lavud, but could be covered by omeid merubel parutz. So Ravashi says that the question here is about a mechitza tluya. Rav Amnuna was no longer asking about omeid merubeh ala parutz, but rather asking about a hanging mechitza. And the question that he posed is similar to the question that Bayimine Rabbi Tavu me Rav. Same question Rabbi Tavu asked from Rav that we saw again earlier back on Daf Yud Bet, which is that if you have a mechitza tluya, ma'u shetatir b'churva. If you have a hanging mechitza, can that work in a churva? This hanging mechitza is not like mechitza that we think of. It's out of a window. You have a framed out square outside your window, and that's a hanging mechitza. Can you use that to bring things up from outside into the house? Does that hanging mechitza work? And we had the answer of Rav before, Amalei, Ein mechitzat guya materet ele b'mayim. That only works over water, it's a dispensation by water. Kal hu shekilu achamim b'mayim, in order to allow people to draw water on Shabbat. The water which is a Carmelite, the house which is a Reshut HaYachid, you want to bring the water from the Carmelite into the Reshut HaYachid, then you draw it through a mechitzat guya, it's a dispensation for mayim. But you do not have that dispensation by churva, and similar here. So we have different answers over here. One is the question of omeid merubeh al ha-parutz. That's the question. And the Gemara's conclusion is that you do not say omeid merubeh al ha-parutz by the horizontal, because otherwise the Mishnah had an alternative for coming up with a case. The fact that the Mishnah does not give that alternative case shows you that omeid merubeh al ha-parutz is not a solution for it. That's one way to reword the question of Rav Amnuna. The other one is Rav Ashi saying that it has nothing to do with Omeid al Parutz. His question simply was about a Mechitza Tluya. And he was asking a similar question that we had seen from Rav Tavla to Rav, which is the Mechitza Tluya work outside of the context of Mayim? And the answer is it does not work outside the context of Mayim. So now we had in the Mishnah, Bishayara in Biyachidlo. Rabbi Yehuda says that all of these dispensations that are being laid out by our Mishnah are only good for caravans, not for individuals. Vatanya, don't we have a brighter review domer? Kol mechitzot Shabbat, lo yitir liyachid yoter mibeitza atayim. And whenever it comes to mechitza on Shabbat, the maximum space that an individual can enclose and carry within is a beitza atayim. So now you have from Rabbi Yehuda over here that beitza atayim, at least for a yachid, is okay. So that means that a yachid can enclose a space and have it be usable on Shabbat. Over here in the Mishnah, it sounds like from Rabbi Yehuda, Yachid doesn't get anything in terms of enclosure or space. It's all for a Shayara. It's all caravans get spaces. Yachidim don't get those spaces. What are you going to do? Kadavar of Nachman, V'item Rabibi Barabai. Solutions like what Rav Nachman said, and some say that it's Rabibi Barabai. That's to give them all that they need. Achanami also here is to give them all that they need. Alright, I'll defer explaining this. Where is their statement made in the first place? That's not our, and this Mishnah. Any part of any fence that doesn't have both horizontal and verticals, in a mechitza. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's the end tail end of our Mishnah. Umi amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda achid. Did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda really say this? Vatanya. Echad yachid v'echad shayira l'chavalim. You can use ropes, means horizontal fencing, both for yachidim and for a shayira, for individuals and for a caravan. Ma ben yachid l'shayira. So then what's the difference between an individual and a caravan? Yachid notim lo beitza taim. For an individual, you give him up to beitza taim, which is the area of the chatzer mishkan, which you consider to be a normal enclosure, a normal enclosed space, and that's why he gets beitza taim. Shnayim notim lahem beitza taim. If you're two people, you can close up to beitza taim. Gimel! Now, sushayara, once you reach three, you've crossed over the threshold into a caravan, notim lahem beit sheish. Then you get six. Sa'ah, divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So then, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you see here, this is a fence that does not have sheti ve'erev, and yet he's still allowing an individual to use this. Not a shayra, not a caravan, but an individual to use this enclosure. So how do we reconcile that with our Mishnah? We have a bright that says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is matir by yachid. We have a Mishnah that says that if you don't have a fence with vertical and horizontal, it's not a fence. And here we have an explicit statement of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that only horizontals are a good fence. So what's the answer? So that's where we have Rav Nachman's statement be made. Doesn't matter if you're yachid or shayra, you can use whatever you want. As long as there's no empty space that you enclose of Beit Sataim. You can't have an area that you've enclosed that's useless or not being used that is the size of a Beit Sataim. So I'm Rav Nachman, Ritem Rav Bibi Rabbi, Lo Nitzuchah L'Ten Lehem Kol Tzarchan. The distinction that we're talking about here is L'Ten Lehem Kol Tzarchan. If you want to enclose an area as big as you want, and use it for whatever you want, then you need a real fence. You need sheti and erev, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. You want to enclose it and be governed by limitations, then you can do these less than quality fences. So you can do these chavalim, these horizontal fences, and then you'll be governed by one person can only enclose beit sataim, two people can only enclose beit sataim, three people can enclose six sa'ah. That's it. That's it. You're limited. You can't go beyond that. But you want to use, you want to have an area greater than that? Bigger than that, put up a real fence. That's the way we're going to explain Rabbi Yossi to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So now let's go back to before. We had the steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's true by a shayara, not true by a yachid. Yet we have a statement from Rabbi Yehuda that a yachid can enclose Beit Sataim with no problem. So what's the answer? Again, it's the same answer. When it comes to Beit Sataim, There, it doesn't matter. Yachid, caravan, everybody's entitled to that Beitza Atayim. What you're not entitled to do is enclose an area for all your needs, as big as you want. You want to make an enclosure for as big as you want? There, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shayara? Yes, you can enclose as much as you want. Yachid, you're limited or governed by this Beitza Atayim. So that's the answer of Rav Nachman, which is that when our Mishnah says, caravan, yes, Yachid, no, or this is a good fence, not a good fence, that's not an absolute statement of Yachid gets nothing. Without this type of fence, you get nothing. No, with the yachid, and without this fence, you're governed by the rule of Beitza Atayim. Once you go to a real fence, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, you go to a shayara, then you're given kol tzarchan. You enclose as big as area as you want, as long as it has utility and you're using that area, you're not leaving a Beitza Atayim empty. So that's the way that we'll reconcile it. Darash from Nachman, Mishur Rabbeinu Shmuel. He got up and gave a public address, and he said, Yachid not nimlo Beitza Atayim. Yachid gets this Beitza Atayim. Bet, two people not nimlo Beitza Atayim, they get two Atayim. Gimel nasu shayara. Three become a caravan. Benoni lehem, Beit Sheish. You give him six. So they said to him, Shavakt Rabbanan Vavat ki Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. You have a machlok between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and you just quoted Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said, for one and two people, you get Beitza Atayim. For three people, Shayira, you get six. The Chachamim said, you get Kol Tzarchan, whatever you want. Why did you drop the Chachamim's position? That's Rabim Negere Yachid. Why are you paskening like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? So this is something you won't see too often. Hadar Ukim Rav Nachman Amora Ale. So Rav Nachman then got an Amora. Amora, the equivalent again of a megaphone. Rav Nachman would say it quietly, and then this person would relay it to the people in a louder voice. Vidarash. And he said, Varim Shamarta Levichem Tahut Ein Biyadi. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. The halacha that I told you before was mistaken. Barach. Kach Amru. This is the right halacha. Yachid not nimlo Beitza Atayim. An individual gets tusa. Shnayim notim lehem Beitza Atayim. Two people get Beitza Atayim. Shlosha nasu shayara. Three become a shayara notim kol tzarchan. They get all of their needs. Now wait a minute. Rav Nachman now, okay, he changed his mind, but he didn't become like the Chachamim. The Chachamim's position is kol tzarchan. Whatever you need, whether you're yachid or shayara. Over here now, he's taking a piece of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda and a piece of the Rabbana. Saying when you're one or two people, you're limited to Beitza Atayim. When you're above, three and above, then you become like the Chachamim, you get as much as you want. So why is he taking piecemeal? Now he's saying a piece of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, a piece of the Chachamim. Reisha Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the first statement, or his first piece is like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, v'sefer Rabbanan. Where it says in, v'shum d'gai avua b'shitatei, because his father takes the same position as him. This is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said for one individual and two individuals, Beitza Atayim is the limit. Once you get three, you get six sa'ah. The Chachamim said, no matter who you are, how many you are, you always get as much as you want. We just saw a braita from Rabbi Yehuda before. Rabbi Yehuda said that a yachid, there's a difference between a shayara and a yachid. A yachid gets Beitza Atayim. A shayara gets as much as they want. But you see that Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rabbi Yosi bi Rabbi Yehuda's father, also says Beitza Atayim for a yachid. So now it's not Rabim neged a yachid. Now I have a Rabim on the side of Beitza Atayim for the yachid. So therefore, I'm going to pass in, like Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda together, when it comes to the Yachid, about Beitza Atayim for one, and Beitza Atayim for two. Once I get up to three, then Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is a Yedat Yachid now, because Rabbi Yehuda's father is not necessarily in agreement with him, and the Rabbanan. So there, I'll take the position of the Rabbanan, which is for Shayara, you get as much as you want. So he took the first piece, he took like Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda is in agreement with him. The second half, where it's three and above, he passed like the Chachamim, because they were the majority then, and there was no support for Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's position from Rabbi Yehuda, and every passed like the Rabbanan, that he gets Kol Tzarchan, whatever they want. Hey, I'll stop there.